Signing autographs for anywhere from $15 to $25. I mean, I know these are all Hall of Famers and great ball players and all, but these people like Mays and Aaron and Williams and DiMaggio, these fellows, they don't need the money, and yet they. I don't know. It just seems like everything they're doing, they won't do unless they get paid for it. And yet, I was instilled with the idea back then that the fans were the important thing. And you did. You went out and made talks to children's groups or parents' groups and anywhere they wanted you to go. And you did it for nothing. With the idea of public relations for your ball club, and this idea that the players are doing all of this with the idea of nothing but pay, this just turns my stomach wrong side out.
It's hard to imagine where a 10-year-old kid come up with the money to get an autograph from each of those fellas.
That's right.
I guess they do.
Well. I mean, I've signed many hundreds or maybe thousands of autographs, and none with the idea that I mean, I felt privileged to do this, and I can say this with I can open my mouth about the problems I see in baseball with a clean slate of my own. The only time I've ever been asked to go to a baseball card signing, I did a couple of years ago, had to go about 20 miles to Hickory, North Carolina. And for 4 hours, I sat at a table and signed autographs. And the thing I did it for, I did it for nothing. I didn't charge the person at all. Even drove myself over there. But one thing I did get for it, he bought me a canned Coca-Cola.
You made a 50-cent profit on the day.
So
did he charge the people for your autograph, or was that free too?
He didn't charge people for an autograph, but. There were many other people who had memorabilia there, or cards, or this kind of thing, and they charged at the door, I think, a dollar or two just to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So none of that came to me or anything.
Did they sell pictures of you that people could buy to get autographs?
Program. And so he offered to pay me, and I told him I'd do it for nothing. And actually, he hasn't even asked me to come back for a second time, so maybe he didn't figure he got his money's worth.
Coke was the killer, right?
But I, like everybody else, feels that ball players are overpaid nowadays, and there seems to be lacking a happy medium somewhere. I know back in my day. It wasn't the perfect situation. We were like slaves. The ball club could sell us, could trade us, could blackball us. If we decided we didn't want to play with them, then we'd end up sitting at home playing with nobody.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing. All right, that wasn't the perfect situation. And certainly nowadays is not either.
It's shifted the other way a whole lot.
I mean, maybe the ball clubs have money, or the owners have money, but what I feel, a player, they don't have enough pride in what they're doing and who they're doing it for. Everybody is for themselves. Not for the ball club anymore.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sure appears.
When Pete Rose years ago while he was playing. Now, here he had grown up in Cincinnati and played with the Reds, and then just all of a sudden, with his fame and all, decided that he was going to put himself on the block to the highest bidder, and he jumped to Philadelphia. Then I lost a lot of respect for Pete. He especially, being a Cincinnati boy, just turned his back on his hometown and jumped to a club like Philadelphia. And so I didn't like that type of thing. And although I wasn't really a Pete Rose or a Cincinnati fan at all, but in watching this type of thing, the ball players just go where the money is.
It's hard to imagine somebody like Musial or Clemente doing something like that. Schmidt held out to the end with the Phillies. You got to admire him for that.
I do admire him for that.
And he was offered money, a lot of money to go elsewhere.
You know, something about now growing up in the South and in North Carolina, I've never been in favor of strikes because there's not that many labor unions in North Carolina, and just didn't understand them, don't know about labor unions, this kind of thing. And so for baseball to be a union nowadays, and go out on strike, I don't like, and just don't feel that that it belongs in sports.
Do you think there'll be a strike next year?
As for that, I really don't have that much of an opinion. By the way that players are doing nowadays, because I don't agree with what they are doing, they seem to do just the opposite of what I would do or what I feel they should do. But the last strike they had, I remember seeing in the paper that this relief pitcher that the Braves did have, Garber, down at Atlanta, he came out and was quoted as saying that, if we don't win this strike, when I retire, I'll have to get a job.
Now, life's tough.
This really flew in the face of former ball players, myself for one, and this type of thing, because who is he that that he should play a game that he supposedly enjoys and retire at maybe 35 to 38 years old and not have to worry about bringing in a paycheck or something later. It just doesn't make sense that that ball players should be able to make that kind of money to where they don't even have to think about having something to get through life later.
Some of these guys with deferred salaries will be paid into the middle of the next century, it seems like.
You know, back in 1953, my first year, I signed. It was in Life magazine, an interview with Duke Snyder, and I remember this very vividly. Duke Snyder said, and this was in quotation marks in Life magazine, he said, "I would not play baseball if I did not get paid." And boy, I looked at that, and here I'd only been a professional for a week or two at the time, playing at Burlington, North Carolina, in the Class B Carolina League. And boy, my mouth dropped open when I read that, and I couldn't understand.
little disillusioning.
That a great ball player in the major league, making a good salary and all, and an all-star and all this kind of thing, that that would say something like that, that that if he didn't get paid for it, he wouldn't play baseball. And yet, I mean, that's how inexperienced and all I was the fact that I at the time, I guess I felt that just the glory of putting on a Burlington uniform and being part of a Pittsburgh organization and all was enough to for me to want to play professional baseball, which is something I wanted to do all my life.
Kids today, though, kids that aren't playing professionally talk that way. My son does. He nothing in this world is greater to him than baseball, but he thinks that if he can play professional baseball, he'll make lots and lots of money.
Well,
maybe he can, but
I don't know just what they're paying in the minor leagues nowadays, but every now and then I will hear that so and so is getting a certain kind of salary, and it's much better than what I was getting paid. I started out getting $200 a month.
Wow.
And actually, there were players on my team in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, in the Class D Wisconsin State League, that were getting $150 a month.
Wow.
Because at that time, $150 or $200 wasn't that much, but you were playing in towns that appreciated baseball. I was staying. I didn't live at a hotel or anything. I lived with an old German family in their home, paying $5 a week for room. And this man and woman. Good night. I went out to the ballpark and came in that night after the game, and she had gone in my closet and washed my dirty clothes even.
Okay.
And they never had children or anything. And the next morning she asked me what kind of things I like for breakfast. And I said, well, I've never been one to eat eggs and sausage or this kind of thing for breakfast. Normally, I go for some pastry, cookies and hot teas, that type of thing, a very light breakfast. Good night. She had made me homemade cookies, and it's just a love affair after that, the way that this couple treated me. When you'd win a game, you'd get a free steak supper somewhere from a restaurant. And if you hit a home run or a winning game, this type of thing, you're always getting free meals. And so it was this type of thing by the town, which or you'd get a free shirt or a free pair of pants or something like this for some game-winning episode, and so it was things like that that really helped the ball players back then.
You think they still do that in small towns?
It wasn't just salary that you had to live off of, but the goodness of the people's hearts in the towns where you played that really helped a great deal.
You think they still do that in small towns?
You know,
Class A's.
I have no idea. I wonder about that. Myself, but when people look at salaries of even major leaguers, not knowing maybe what they make in the minor league towns, if they know they're making millions up there in the majors, then this would cause people to think, well, well, this ball player down here in Class A baseball is making a good salary. He doesn't need my help or a free meal, that
yeah.
type of thing. And so that could affect those kinds of things.
What do you think you would make today if you were with Pittsburgh as you were in the late 50s?
Oh, good night. That's something I don't even dream about or even think about that much. I see the some of the average salaries or the minimum salaries, this kind of thing, and just can't imagine that that a first-year player up there is making something like I think it's something like $75,000.
Something like that. It was $67,500, and then they raised it from there a few years ago.
Is that right?
It's astronomical.
Yeah. Well, actually, on our ball club in 58 and 59, the highest salary that I think was on our club.